Welcome to the Pixels and Dice podcast, where every week our crew of intrepid dipshits blather on about all manner of gaming topics, as if they actually have something useful to say. Really, it is just the worst when it comes to podcasts, but here's an idea. Turn it into a drinking game. Every time they say something stupid, take a drink. But seriously, don't do that. Your liver will thank you.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
And one thing I forgot to actually ran out of time for last week. Did you notice the new art?
No.
Well, there's new art. Yes, I did up new graphics for the podcast. I've got, just in general on scormy.com, new graphics. There's new graphics in the Discord. Yes, there are new emotes in Discord. There's new emotes and new artwork on the Twitch channel. Woohoo!
Cool.
$400 almost. This is what happens when you pay a professional artist.
Yes, but you're paying the artist. You're not just stealing his work.
Yes, yes, and she's worked with me in the past. In fact, you know my hairless bear avatar I used before?
Yeah.
She drew that. Mm-hmm. The reason it was so expensive was I paid for commercial licenses for three main pieces of art, and the other stuff, the emotes, mm-hmm. do not have commercial licenses. So those three pieces are a starting point, and you know, if for some reason somebody wanted to go by scormy.com and buy some merch, I'm not joking, go buy some merch. No, seriously, I didn't expect to spend that much, but it was just too nice a work to not pay for, to not go.
I'm not mocking your spending habits.
No, but I'm hoping
artists
to recoup.
Deserve to get paid for their work.
Absolutely. I'm just hoping to recoup some of those costs. So, you know, between making money on Twitch and maybe eventually selling some t-shirts or hats or posters, there's a really nice piece that I just came up off of. It's my idea, but she fleshed it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rectangular, you know, portrait-sized poster of my character, Scormy, who, by the way, is a red panda, greedily laying on a big mound of gold, coins, and whatnot, in this huge expanse. Think the Lonely Mountain in The Hobbit.
Uh-huh.
With, of course, a dragon in the background, looking on, not happy. So, I gave her that idea, and she ran with it and did up this great freaking picture. And I'm like, yep, that'll do. That'll do really nicely. So, yes. Anyway, so that's what I've been dealing with and doing. Anything new with you?
Not really. Just working, enjoying life.
Cool. Well, today we were going to talk about some role-playing stuff, but there's no real role-playing news, so I was thinking we could deconstruct another role-playing game. Did you have something in mind?
Oh, I most certainly did.
Well,
it's an interesting game. It has some rabid, and by rabid I mean almost frothing at the mouth kind of rabid fans, but then again it also has people who absolutely detest it. Now, there have been many versions of it that have come out since the version I'm going to be talking about. So please don't take this as, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about, because this particular version is the one that I played. This is the one that I know. And this is the one by Games Workshop, and it was released in the early 90s, somewhere around like 93, 94. And the tag on the front says, "A grim world of perilous adventure." And in my opinion, it's a lot of fun. So, Warhammer, the fantasy role-playing game, it appears from first glance to be nothing more than just a generic D&D clone. But as you go deeper, you start to see changes. changes that aren't that subtle in some cases and subtle in other cases. But you could see how this could be a whole lot more. I mean, it has all the earmarks of being a great horror game if you want it to go that way. It uses all the same standard dice that D&D uses, you know. Sure. It has ability scores, just like D&D. They have many more different ability scores, you know, like instead of your standard strength, dexterity, constitution, whatever, it has those to a point, you know. Instead of constitution, you have like toughness. There's still strength. There's movement score. There's weapon score. There's ballistic score. You know, there's all kinds of other things. And
but it's along the same lines.
It's basically along the same lines, exactly. And it has only four races at this point. There was the humans, the wood elves, the dwarves, and the halfling. So again, very similar to D&D. But where it starts to take a turn is alignment. In D&D, alignment is pretty much nothing more than just decoration on the Christmas tree. You know, most people use it to a small degree, and it's used for role-playing hooks and that sort of thing. But in this game, alignment plays a much larger role. There's only five alignments in this game. You know, you have your law, you have your order. Or you have your law, your chaos, you have your good, you have your evil, and you have your neutral. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And most everything is neutral. And the other four, they are pretty much, in my opinion, the enemy. Because chaos is supposed to be the big baddie. Everybody's, you know, afraid of the minions of chaos. Blood and souls for Khorne. But there are some characters in this game that are lawful. And they are more vicious, more brutal, more horrible than any minion of chaos ever thought to be.
Yeah.
Because they believe in their heart of hearts what they're doing is right. It doesn't matter that they're torturing children. They're doing what is lawful and just.
You know, but here's the thing. The way I see it is that chaos is the obvious enemy. But law is routinely just as bad, but they have the color of law behind them. Good and evil, obviously evil is, again, obvious. Not quite as much as chaos. And then good, well, it's kind of hard for good to be bad, but good intentions don't always work out the best.
Well, and I remember in one game we played, we were all absolutely fucked over by a good player, or a good NPC, I mean.
Uh-huh.
And the comment was, the path to hell is paved with good intentions.
Exactly. I mean, you could have, I believe elves, if I remember right, wood elves were the good race. And it's been a while since I played, obviously, let alone cracked open the book. Although I have my copy right here. One of three copies, yet one of those games. But anyway, I digress. The thing is that you could have a big group of elves that are all, you know, very good and friendly most of the time, except they just went and wiped out this woodsman's family. Mm-hmm. He and his entire family destroyed his house that he had built, just razed everything, all their livestock, everything razed to the ground, ripped it apart, tore it all out so that they could reseed what he had chopped down and fix the Sylvan Forest that he had damaged. Never meaning to do any harm, but he had. And it was for the greater good to take him out and stop him and stop them. And they may not have even thought about it. The forest is more important. It's better to do this and to get rid of those pests causing the problem. Like somebody might shoot a wild dog is the way they would handle it. And they were being, within their mind, completely and utterly good. In fact, they might have even felt it was really for the for the best that they be put out of their misery, because otherwise they just would have caused the other monsters and whatnot, that who's the other creatures like the wolves and whatnot, maybe they were displacing them and they were going to end up coming after their livestock and making them starve during the winter. So it's better we put them all down now.
Yeah.
Warhammer's kind of a fucked up game.
Oh, yes. One of the things that the book touches on, but leaves very vague, because they want this to be the driving force for the game master to help the characters discover what it means when they're told that they're fate touched, because every player character in this game is fate touched, whether that's going to be for the good, for evil, for whatever, depends upon how they play their character, how the game progresses. It's something you find out what it means later.
Yeah.
And that has made for a lot of mixed feelings. We've had people who they thought they were destined for greatness, and they end up getting sacrificed for this elder evil, and that's what their fate meant.
Yeah.
They just didn't know it until they were sacrificed.
And they didn't hold on to enough fate points.
Possibly. But getting back to the core of the game, you start out and there's four character or career classes. There's the warriors, the rangers, the rogues, and the academics. Each one of those has its own set of basic careers. See, this game doesn't go as you're a rogue and you just develop as a rogue. No, you have your basic career, which, you know, you might be a pit fighter. You might be a soldier. You might be a farmer. You might be, you know, basically a librarian's assistant. And as you progress in the game, gaining experience, because in this game, you don't level up per se. You don't have that vertical progression. You have horizontal progression. So you use your experience points to buy skills, to buy abilities, basically, as you go through the game. Once you've bought all of those skills and upgrades, you know, like say you're a pit fighter and you've got a plus 10 to your weapon score as one of the things you can purchase. Once you've purchased all of those, then there's no progression anymore. So you have to exit that career and choose one of the career exits that you're given. And then you fill that one out and then you move on to the next one. You don't have to actually buy every single thing that's available. You can quit at any time and move on to another one. It just costs experience points to change from this career to this career. And you eventually work your way through it. When we played, I used to love starting off as a rat catcher, because rat catchers, they've got probably some of the best starting abilities. You have, let me find it here. You start out with a combat pet. You have a vicious dog that works with you.
Mm-hmm.
You have stealth in the city. You have move silently in the city. You have immunity to disease and immunity to poison, the ability to craft traps, slings as a weapon, and the ability to detect traps. And you have some pretty decent career exits: bodyguard, footpad, grave robber, or jailer. And all the while, you're working towards advanced classes. And the advanced classes have pretty much twice as much things to buy. And so they're just a much better opportunity. And so you basically, you're developing your character as you go along. So it really makes for a lot of role playing.
Yes. And when I was running that years ago, it basically was, oh, what's the quickest way to get to assassin? Because I saw it all the time. Oh, we're all going to end at assassin? Oh, okay. Assassins have a really good allotment of stuff they can buy.
Well, and as an example, I put down that, say you started out as a rat catcher, you know, instead of having like a level 12 rogue, you might have a rat catcher who worked his way into becoming a footpad, and then he became a highwayman and is now an outlaw chief. So through those progressions of careers, you can see how his life went. You can see how his story progressed, and the role-playing aspect of it is massive.
Yeah.
You know, going through those different careers, he gains, you know, cool abilities like strike to stun and move silently in the wild, use crossbows. You can get animal care and etiquette and marksmanship and pistols and fencing swords and trick riding. And you just basically work your way through all these cool abilities until you've decided to start a different character.
Yep. So you eventually retire and make something new.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like in our case, everyone eventually says, can we stop playing this now? We want to play something that's not such a slog.
Yes, I know. The combat, as fun as it was, did have a tendency to bog down.
Well, that's basically, that's just where you may, people may say, oh, it's just a generic fantasy game. It's just another version of D&D. No.
No.
Because most D&D-like games, your combat takes a few minutes. Not so much in Warhammer.
No. But their combat system was definitely different because you roll your dice to see if you hit. And then you take those numbers. Say you rolled a 41 to hit. You take that and you reverse the numbers and it becomes a 14. And you check on the chart where you hit.
I do believe that's a headshot, sir.
Actually, I thought 14 was the body.
Maybe.
But anyhow, and so say you struck somebody's right arm 3 times, did damage each time. Yes, I know, rare, because there were a lot of misses. But you struck that arm and did damage 3 different times. And now there's 0 hit points on that arm. That arm is rendered useless. So the enemy can no longer use that arm. Or if the monster hits your right arm 3 times, or however many times it takes.
Yeah.
And now your right arm is broken and you can't do anything with it.
Of course, armor points come into effect there too. But yes, 14 is a headshot, sir.
Okay.
56 to 80 is body.
Well, either way. And but that also brings in critical hits. Critical hits are when things really change. Because if you get a critical hit on a body, it might come up with something as blow caves in your opponent's chest, rupturing several internal organs, causing death in a matter of moments.
Yep.
Or you hit them in the head and their head is sheared from their shoulders and flies away in D6 feet in a random direction.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff. Which, so you know, a lot of fun.
But yeah, it's basically, okay, yeah, you may have all this armor and you may have all this, you know, several hit points and everything, but if they do get a critical hit and do 1 point of damage, your chest is caved in or your head's knocked off or, oh, your leg's been lopped off and you're going to bleed out. Or the critical hits list is just funny to read in that game. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. But one of the other game changers on this is the different effects that go on, like poison. In most games, poison, you get poisoned, you're affected with a condition, so you're nauseous for X amount of time. Or you take one time, a boom, hit of damage. Or maybe you take, over the course of X amount of time, small doses of damage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's poison. No, in this one, poison, one dose has major effects. 2 doses can be lethal depending upon the poison. Unless, of course, we're talking snake venom, which is lethal with 1 dose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, diseases can be, they're severe. And sometimes they have long-term effects. And then there's some diseases that are lethal within a month.
Basically, and
it's a lot more realistic.
Yes, their stuff is very similar to making a character in Traveler, which is, to my knowledge, the only game where you can actually die during character creation.
No, that's Cyberpunk 2.
It's Traveler is, you got like a 33% chance of death just making your character. Oh, you do character, start rerolling again, that one didn't make it. It's along those lines of, wow, this is, but I just got a whiff of, I touched that rat, or you may have this awesome character with all these awesome plans, but oh, you got this debilitating disease and you're forced to retire because you got a disease, you got the plague, or you know, something along those lines where you may not have died, but you lost, your stats are just crippled and you're never going to be, I was an adventurer till I got a knee in the air, got an arrow in the knee, that sort of thing. You're done.
I got a knee in the arrow.
Knee in the arrow. I should rename this episode. Oh my gosh.
One of the biggest factors in this whole game is insanity, because there are so many creatures that can just being in their vicinity can cause insanity, and insanity leads to debilitating effects. The least of which is like agoraphobia or claustrophobia or alcoholism. Some of them turn you into stark raving maniac. So yeah, your character can change just by encountering, not fighting, just passing near a nasty creature.
That's really one of the main reasons people really are afraid of chaos, because the creatures of chaos, or the chaos touched and all that, very often spread insanity. They all very often cause insanity, especially the main harbingers of chaos. And yeah, the longer you're exposed to it, the worse it gets. So,
well, what I thought was funny is they've got this whole section in the book about how to recover from these debilitating effects, and then you've got these random charts that you have to roll on to see if the brain surgery that they did cured you of your defect. It might. There's a small chance that it'll remove one of your debilities or disabilities, or it might do absolutely nothing at all, or it might lower your intelligence, or it could kill you.
Yeah. It's the cure is more often it's worse than the actual
You have problem. Much greater odds of having a bad effect than you do of having it cured.
Did I mention that Warhammer's kind of a fucked up game?
Oh yeah, I quite agree. But miss it.
For the hardcore, oh my god, huge fun, because half of it is laughing hilariously as your runaway coach goes flying off of the cliff, because that's the campaign. That's really the history of your character is going to be, woo, I'm going to be an adventurer and die in many extravagant and RNG-fueled destructive moments. It's not going to be little cuts that wear you down. You don't have this great, glorious future. You don't have this great, heroic end. More often than not, a goblin's going to shiv you in the back and get a crit. And just this random crit that kills you dead. Which, okay, as a game master, I used to run Warhammer a lot. Sometimes you just got to go, that roll didn't actually happen, and do it again. Or just flat out say to yourself, oh, that wasn't really a crit. I rolled a crit. That character's totally dead. But instead, I'm sorry, they missed. Next. Because otherwise, yes, lie to your team. Cheat for your players. Because otherwise, this game is doing them no favors. This game is actively trying to kill them.
Well, and that was one of the problems with this game, is it set it up as a combative existence between the game master and the players. They actively encouraged game masters to be devious and destructive, and I don't know, I just never found that to be appealing.
No, and if I were actually doing that, y'all never would have lived.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there was so many times I would have just, okay, the combat took a little too long. I'm sorry, that what should have been a 5-minute fight in D&D took an hour. Why did the monsters keep missing you? Huh. I wonder why, Lirazel. I wonder why your character's still alive. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that kind of bothered me with the game was, especially going back and revisiting it now mm-hmm. that we've played so many other games since this one, was the stereotypes. You know, all dwarves have mining skills. All halflings can cook, etc.
Yeah.
It just seems, I don't know.
When we're talking about a game that was based off of a tabletop battles game. So mm-hmm. they basically fleshed it out as best they could, but they also had to keep it somewhat stereotypical to allow players to grow off of it. And because that's not necessarily a bad thing to play off of stereotypes, but when it makes your characters, all dwarves start like this, all halflings are like this, all men are like this, that's all elves are like this
uh-huh.
to begin with. And that allows you to grow from there. That actually can harm a character's development later on. Maybe my dwarf wasn't actually raised by dwarves, was instead mm-hmm. raised with halflings instead. His family, he got, well, they were killed or whatever, run off, and he was one of the only survivors found by a merchantman, you know, a halfling merchantman, and his adopted mother taught him to cook. Well, no, a good game master
would have allowed that.
A good game master would have swapped out that mining skill for cooking.
Yeah, no problem. No skin off my nose.
But then again, that requires the game master to think above and beyond the rules. We still think that's never been a problem. Please do that. That's what a good game master should do. But not everybody would do that. Some would say dwarves have mining. So regardless of the fact that nobody would have been around to teach you how to mine, you have mining skills.
Yes.
It's inherent in your person.
Yeah. But again, they have updated this multiple times since then. And I'm sure many of these issues have been cleaned up and everything's great.
Yes. And well, no. I know that they did for a while license it out to another company because that's one of the three versions I have. I have two Games Workshop versions mm-hmm. and I have this other one, which I didn't bother to bring out of the game room, but and they tried to change things up and make it more modern. And well, let's just say there's a reason nobody saw me with that book, because I never ran it.
Hmm.
I was excited about the idea, but it wasn't Warhammer. It wasn't what everyone would be expecting. Oh, it had similarities, but it wasn't the same. And so, yeah, no thanks.
Well, that's a shame.
Well, you know, that was years ago, though. So maybe it's changed since then. I don't know. I'm assuming you can still get Warhammer somewhere.
I have my copy, and I'm going to keep it.
Yeah, me too. Anywho, so we're running about that time. Any final thoughts?
Warhammer's a good game. That could be a great game if they just updated it a little bit. Had some, you know, sensible person work on updating the systems. Give it the fifth edition kind of treatment. Make a little more sense of things. Just my two cents.
I like how savage it is and how brutal it can be. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole game master versus players thing isn't fun, but the whole thought that if you go into it thinking your character may not live through this adventure, just know that. Don't get too attached. I like that, but it's far too dependent on RNG.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and the thing is that if somebody rolls a number and they swap it around, once you've played for a while, you automatically know, okay, that's this body part, that's this body part, but hey, wait, that doesn't make any sense that I would have hit its left arm when I was swinging from the right. I should have hit his right arm. That makes no sense. You're right. It does. But,
I know.
Anyway.
But you got to give him credit, though. As part of the initial first book, it came with its own module just to get you started. The Olden Holler contract.
Yeah.
It's not a bad game.
No.
So
there's fun there.
if you've got friends who are into, you know, brutal, savage kind of games, and you don't mind the slog fest that is the combat, I mean, maybe you can homebrew a new set of rules for combat to make it faster, but give it a try. It's not a bad game. It's a lot of fun. We had many, many, many good sessions of just incredible fun. So yep. don't take it like I'm beating this into a pile of crap, because I'm not. The main reason I'm doing it is because it was one of my favorite games for the longest time.
Warhammer. There are worse games.
Pretty much.
Anyway, till next time, I'm Scormus.
I'm Bayless.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Wow, you got this far. I'm impressed. Also, if you decided to play the drinking game, please get yourself to a hospital right away. No human should ever drink that much alcohol. If you actually enjoyed this travesty of a podcast, please drop by our website at scoreme.com, which could inspire a drinking game of its own.